This is the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. This show examines the latest legal topics and news facing families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. It is hosted by lawyers Rob Schenck and Will Smith of Schenck Smith LLC, a personal injury law firm based in Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome to the show. Hello and welcome to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob Schenck.
And I'm Will Smith.
And we are trial lawyers and we practice in the areas of nursing home abuse and neglect in the state of Georgia. And we just happen to be also your co-hosts. Thank you for joining us. If you're new to the podcast, just to let you know, we are a video podcast, meaning that you can watch us on our website, which is nursinghomeabusepodcast.com, or check us out on our YouTube channel. Or you can also download the audio on Stitcher.
Or iTunes.
Or iTunes Radio, or wherever you download your podcasts. Whatever mobile application that you use will probably be there, except Spotify. Spotify is, that's like, they're still not beta testing, but they're only allowing the crim of the crop podcasts as of today. We've applied, and we're just waiting, got our fingers crossed, to be allowed onto the Spotify platform. Maybe one day.
We'll see.
Maybe one day. Maybe based on how good this episode is.
Oh, well, then we'll... If that's any indication so far,
it's... We're good. We're good to go on that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, on the agenda today, a problem... Probably, it's not the most common problem, but when it happens, it can be extremely devastating. And this is the problem that nursing homes have with what's called elopement. And for those that don't know, elopement is when a nursing home resident not only wanders unsupervised, but actually leaves the premises. That is the definition of elopement, not necessarily going somewhere with your loved one and getting married without telling your parents. It is the act of a nursing home resident wandering and then literally leaving the facility, going out in the parking lot, going out in the streets. And as you can imagine, with nursing home residents with Alzheimer's, with dementia, this can be deadly. Because the resident can get lost, they can fall down, they can unfortunately sometimes get hit by cars, but it's a serious problem when it occurs. So where are nursing home facilities with regard to preventing this from happening? What are some things that the nursing home can do? The first thing is that the nursing home should take steps to assess every individual resident's risk for elopement. So who are the nursing home residents that are at the highest risk for elopement?
Alzheimer and dementia patients.
So that's correct. So basically, the individuals at the nursing home that fall into the category of limited mental capacity. But the other component to that is that the resident has limited mental capacity but also high mobility. So in other words, an individual that is not confined to a wheelchair, that can get up, stand up, walk, these individuals are the residents that the nursing home should be on the lookout for to not leave the facility, essentially.
Right.
So those are the residents with the highest risk. So what nursing home needs to do is assess that and assess what can be done. So with regard to preventing elopement of the high-risk individuals, but from a standpoint, from a psychological standpoint, what's going on with the resident that causes them to wander and causes them to leave the facility? And there's a couple, or it's probably several theories, but two main theories regarding that are various types of triggers. So oftentimes the resident will be triggered by a what's called a desire to fill a need. So in other words, maybe they're attempting to find a non-existent bathroom to urinate, or they are attempting to go to a location that is not too hot. Maybe it's too warm, something along the lines of that. Oftentimes another trigger is going to be, other than environmental factors, it's going to be a reaction in the mind of the resident to something in the past. So, for example, oftentimes, and I know that you've talked about this in the past, where the resident is wanting to go to work. They're mm-hmm. putting on a tie
yeah.
and going to work.
Yeah, you don't, you know, it's like if you've ever been asleep and you're having a dream, and in the dream you're reaching for a cup of coffee and you wake up and you're, you know, you've got your hand around your dog's head, right? If your dog sleeps with you, because your mind doesn't really know what's going on. You're disconnected from reality. That's what's going on with a dementia patient, and sometimes with Alzheimer's patients, but definitely dementia. They aren't living the same reality that you are. In you know, I always use the fake person, Mr. Johnson. In Mr. Johnson's mind, he's got to go to work. So he's putting on, you know, his suit, and he's putting on his tie, and he's heading out the door. And, you know, unfortunately, somebody didn't lock the door, and now he's walking down the highway, you know, to his job that he hasn't had in 50 years.
Right. And according to some studies, it says here, individuals, particularly residents of nursing homes with dementia, have a lower threshold for stress. And their ability to cope with internal environmental stress continues to erode as the disease progresses. So a lot of times they're reacting to internal discomfort based on external demands. So, example, noisy environments, hot or cold environments, situations in which they feel emotionally threatened.
Sure.
So they're reacting to that, and they're trying to essentially get away from that.
Yeah.
So that's the trigger. So those are, I mean, that's the individuals that are at risk. That's generally the psychology behind why. So let me, it's interesting. Some of these stats are pretty impressive. So let's see here. The risk of elopement is on the rise. Between 2006 and 2009, the number of reported cases of elopement increased by 38%.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have here, let's see, according to Wick and Zanny, which I'm not, that's a particular study referenced somewhere else. According to that study, residents are, and this is interesting, residents are least likely to elope between 12 a.m. and 7 a.m. And the majority of those who elope are repeat offenders, with approximately 72% of successful elopers attempting to do so again. So there's a high recidivism rate of elopement.
Mm-hmm.
And there are chronic wanderers in nursing homes and long-term care facilities.
And so we talk about the psychological triggers, and what that also does is set up a discussion on how do you prevent elopement. And so the very first thing is, you know, is trying to create an environment that doesn't have those psychological triggers. So making them comfortable, making them feel safe, not having, you know, not having somebody placed to. If you've ever been inside of a nursing home, you know that occasionally there will be a resident or two who is very vocal and constantly vocal and is constantly yelling. That is a stressor that you don't want to put dementia patients around, or those with, you know, limited mental capacity. Also understand something. We're talking about dementia patients, but some people have their wits about them and just don't want to be in a nursing home. And I have seen, at least on one occasion, not as an attorney, but as a CNA, somebody who would constantly leave, and the family would have to, and this is an old country nursing home, and the family would have to come up there, and everybody in town knew him, was like, you know, you know, Papa, you gotta, you know, Paul, you gotta go back, and you can't do this. But aside from removal of those psychological triggers, something that I have noticed more and more, and I don't know necessarily if this is a function of location or if this is a function of a growing awareness of elopement, but I was a CNA from 2000 and 2007 or 8, and most of it was in rural Georgia. And you could go to a nursing home and walk right in. You could open the door and walk into the nursing home. What I'm noticing more and more, and again, this may be a function of the fact that I'm in the metro Atlanta area now, is that when I go to visit residents or do an investigation at a nursing home, I have to buzz to get into the nursing home. Because you can't just walk in. And that's a one way that not only do they prevent, you know, any dangerous actors from coming into the nursing home, but it also prevents people from just randomly walking outside.
That's right.
They have to at least go through the nursing staff and say, hey, can you buzz the door and let me out?
That's right. And so what's interesting that this article notes is that in terms of securing exits,
sure,
an interesting psychological component to elopement is that studies suggest that individuals that have dementia, diminished limited capacity, you have a tendency, if you're going to wander, you wander to a focal point. And the problem is that when you have an exit at the end of a hallway, the wanderer, the person that's committing elopement, will go to the end of the hallway and out that door. So nursing homes are more and more placing their exits to the side, not at the end of a hallway, but towards the side of the hallway and securing those. And it is a give and take between securing all of your exits, making, you know, versus creating a fire hazard. I know that's a tug of war.
Yeah.
Safety versus safety, preventing elopement versus, you know, you don't want to have a fire and all the exits are barricaded or locked.
Yeah.
So it's important to make sure that all non-essential exits are secured in some way. They have an alarm, you know, so that way Mr. Johnson can't just wander out the back exit and nobody know. But it's a problem. When we had a case not too long ago in which it was we represented the nursing home resident who was a chronic wanderer, and he had at least two instances of elopement in which he was able to go to the once he was able to go outside unsupervised into a courtyard, and then another time he was able to make it outside into a parking lot. And according to the medical records and that the parking lot incident, that's the nursing home blamed it on family members of another family that left the gate open, but it doesn't matter. But anyway, you know, that resident ended up eventually wandering unsupervised into another room and accidentally hanging himself with window blind cords.
Yeah.
So wandering and elopement can be very big problems. So it's important that if you have a loved one in a nursing home, that the nursing home, you question the nursing home. What assessment has the nursing home staff done in regards to elopement and wandering prevention? So if your loved one is in a wheelchair and, you know, or is morbidly obese and can't move around or is non-ambulatory, maybe there's no risk. But where your loved one can walk around, where your loved one, even if your loved one is in a wheelchair, if they can still maneuver that wheelchair, is still pretty good. They could potentially be at risk if they also have that limited capacity. So ask questions. Where are the exits? Are they secured? Are there alarms?
That's something good to talk about. An alarm to prevent against elopement is oftentimes with the consent of the family and advisement of the physician, again, residents have rights. They're not cattle. You can't just put a tag on them. So when the entire healthcare team and the family gets together and decides that this is a risk and it needs a remedy, one of those remedies is placing a bracelet, oftentimes a bracelet, on the resident that that alerts staff if they go outside of a certain area. So the exit doors will have a sensor that that goes off anytime that resident's bracelet, you know, traverses the plane of the sensor, and it immediately starts beeping. And once you hear that beep, everybody starts running.
All hands on deck.
All hands on deck. And typically, in my experience, we know who it is. It's always, you know, the same one or two residents that are constantly trying to get outdoors. And so when I hear that beeping sound, I know
it's Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Johnson's, you know, headed to the farm, even though, you know, it's no longer there and it's now a Walmart, because that was 50 years ago, Mr. Johnson.
At the end of the day, we always say be vigilant, ask questions of the nursing home.
Yeah.
But in terms of elopement, those are the things to look out for. Does the nursing home take affirmative steps to make sure there's visual deterrence of elopement, physical devices in place like the door alarms, the sensors, the bracelets that will prevent it? And what are their attack plans when elopement occurs?
Do we talk about why elopement's dangerous, other than just like, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. You wouldn't want a toddler out in the wilderness of society without protection. You don't want somebody who has dementia that doesn't know what's going on crossing an interstate, going to a parking lot, or getting lost and not know where they are and freezing to death, which is often what happens. So, I mean, they cannot take care of themselves in that environment. So they have to be, you know, contained within the security of the nursing home or a skilled nursing facility, wherever they are.
That's right. That's why it's important that, I mean, when it doesn't happen a lot statistically, it's on the rise, though. But when it does, it can be catastrophic, because you have an individual that's going into an unfamiliar environment that it can be hostile, oftentimes, whether it's traffic, things on the ground, uneven ground, or weather. So that, you know, that's something that the nursing home needs to assess, and you need to ask the nursing home about it. Another issue, and we'll segue out of that into another one, is the nursing home's duty, the long-term care facility's duty, to prevent altercations, not from the staff to the resident, but between residents. And I bring this up because of a recent issue from a Boston nursing home. And so it says here, this is a Seven News out of Boston took the addresses of nursing home and rest homes in Massachusetts and compared them to the addresses for sex offenders on the state's registry. And they found that 2 level 2 and 10 level 3 sex offenders, the most dangerous kind, came up matches.
Mm-hmm.
So you have convicted rapists and convicted child abusers residing in nursing homes. And in this article, the investigator spoke with an attorney, what's his name? David Huey, a Massachusetts attorney who handles elder abuse cases, where he was talking about more than a decade ago, Huey sued a nursing home in 2 different places. Where a known sex offender was a resident and ended up raping a 90-year-old roommate. The nursing home's defense in that case was that, you know, the offender's crimes previously that he was convicted for were against children, so they didn't believe that he posed a threat.
And, you know, this is another one of those very difficult, murky areas where you have residents' rights versus resident safety, because these are human beings, and the fact that they're elderly doesn't mean that their sexual desires, their desire to be held by another human, to be romantic with another human, doesn't mean that those go away. And so, you know, I have very often found myself in situations as a CNA where we have, you know, individuals that we have to keep apart, but we're not 100% sure if, because we're not 100% sure if it's consensual. And if there's any question of that, you know, it's one of those things where we just contact the family and say, hey, listen, Mrs. Johnson, Mr. Johnson is constantly going to Mrs. Craig's room. I know both of their, you know, spouses are passed away. Both of them have their mental, you know, faculties about them, but it's not really clear what we should do.
And that's one component to this. The other component is that in terms of privacy rights and regarding what the nursing home should do to prevent problems versus the rights of the residents to do as they wish, that also involves the rights of ex-convicts. So you mm-hmm. have, like, if the convicted sex abuser has done his or her time, what is the duty of the nursing home to say you still can't be here? And in fact, the article points out that Massachusetts banned level 3 sex offenders from living in nursing homes, but the Supreme Court ruled that law unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
With regard to what the duty is on a federal level, there is no specific regulatory rule with regard to sex offenders. However, the federal code requires that nursing homes identify any residents that might abuse others and come up with a plan to specifically address that. So the identifying people that might abuse or might hurt or might get into altercations includes the sexual offenses as well. Mm-hmm. So while at this point doing a background check for every resident might not be the standard, they do know that if a nursing home identifies that a resident is violent or sexually violent or has a propensity towards these things, then they have to take measures to prevent those problems.
And again, as is the case with a lot of negligence in nursing homes and a lot of neglectful issues in nursing homes, the very first solution to this problem is more staffing. And when I say more staffing, I mean at the very least adequate staffing. If you've got one or two CNAs for a hall full of 30 people, they don't know what's going on in every room. But if you've got, you know, three or four or even more CNAs on a hall, and they're closely interacting with the residents, that everybody knows what's going on. You know, like things only happen in secret when there's not enough eyes on the residents, and there's not enough eyes on the residents when these nursing homes fail to hire enough staff, because again, it's easier for them to save money by not hiring staff and then just dealing with the occasional lawsuit that happens when something like this occurs. So, you know, again, it's just them being hoggish and not just making a profit, but making a killing at the expense of resident safety.
That's right. And as I said, that this is according to Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The facility is responsible for identifying residents who have a history of disruptive or intrusive interactions or who exhibit other behaviors that make them more likely to be involved in an altercation. The facility should identify the factors, such as illness or environment, that increase the risks associated with the individual residents, including those that could trigger an altercation. Then the facility should implement a program or a plan in place, such as separation, reducing those environmental cues that cause the altercation, like loud noises or the temperature controls that are triggering the violent or disruptive behavior.
And you have to think about this too. just in another dynamic of this, it's not a solution just to say, well, let's just not, you know, as a nursing home, we'll no longer accept people who have a history of violence. Well, then where do they go? More often than not, people go to nursing homes because they cannot take care of themselves and family can no longer take care of them. So if you have somebody who is not completely independent, that is not allowed in a nursing home, where are they going to go? They've got to go somewhere. They're still going to be a drain on resources. It's still going to be an issue. So the best thing to do is for the nursing home to have adequate staffing, for families to have the confidence that at any given time, the staff of the nursing home knows what's going on with their loved one at all times. And that's something that cuts it down. But it's never going to be, you know, again, and this goes back to resident rights, versus resident safety. There is no situation in which we can have resident rights and 100% resident safety. People may not have a history of violence, and because of their illness, just snap one day, and before anybody can do anything, they could attack your loved one. But that also could literally happen anywhere.
That's right. And the important thing to note is that the nursing home needs to have constructive knowledge of the potential for violence or disruption. If it's a one-time out of the blue thing, I mean, what can a nursing home do? They're not omnipotent.
Yeah. They have to have a proclivity towards a certain act, which means
among other factors,
but they have to have like a history of doing that, you know. Not just I got into a fight once.
That's right. I got into a fight once when I was in third grade, and it was at some point after the movie Karate Kid. So I noticed that Karate Kid, like, he would do, what is this? Like, when you do this and you karate chop something?
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to, like, punch like that, and it didn't work. Like, you got a fist up.
Yeah.
And I was doing the Karate Kid. And that didn't work. And that fight, I think, was over, like, a disagreement about, I don't know, which Garbage Pail Kid was the best or something like that.
And you know, that actually brings up a good point. Residents will, you know, sometimes there, just because you're an elderly person doesn't mean that you're always wise. You still have human emotion. Residents will fight over, you know, small petty things.
Like Garbage Pail Kids.
Or lunch, or who gets to sit where. Or sometimes they'll just mistake somebody for somebody else. It happens very frequently, and you'll have to separate those residents. The social worker will have to come and talk with them and figure out what the triggers were and just try to be more proactive to prevent that type of thing. I have seen on one occasion two female residents just get into an outright brawl over, I want to say it was who got to lead the activities that day. So they afterwards were no longer to attend the same activity time frame. And that pretty much solved the problem.
And speaking of separating residents from one another, it is time to separate you, the listener or the viewer, from this particular episode of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. As always, you can download the audio portion on Stitcher or iTunes or whatever your podcast application means of choice is, or you can watch our pretty faces on our website, which is nursinghomeabusepodcast.com, or check us out on YouTube. But we appreciate you listening and watching, and we will see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Please be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and feel free to leave us some feedback. And for more information about the topics discussed in this episode, check out the show website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. That's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.